The trees are alive with the sounds of music.
It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh boy, oh boy. Hello, hello. Welcome, one and all. It is 1901 UTC, and that means it's close enough. It's time for news to me, which is what the intro says. Sometimes I get on a loop. Sorry about that. It is July 6th, 2021, and it is a Tuesday. Sure enough. Since I was off yesterday, it's weird. My days are going to be all messed up all week, I'm pretty sure. But you know what? Such is life. That happens. I hope you're doing all right. I'm going to go ahead here and jump over into COM. All you got to do is SSH into SDF, and then type COM for COM. That's what we do here. And then it connects. Then you press... Oh, dear. My TMUX session died. Oh well, type in COM. We'll start a new session. That'll be fine. And then you press G for go to, and then Anon Radio, all lowercase. And boom, you'll land in the Anon Radio room. Not Anin Radio or Dreamland. Those are places people go when they're not in Anon Radio. You want to go to Anon Radio, and then boom, you'll be in with the cool people like Ratsu and FFog. And SMJ, welcome, welcome. Thank you for being here. I guess Salted Egg joined late last night, or whatever. But anyway, I haven't seen these folks, so welcome, welcome, one and all. Thank you for being here. Thanks for listening. And, you know, anyway, we've talked enough. Doesn't matter. Life is like a box of chocolates. But no matter what, we're going to go ahead and start the way we always start.
World news.
And that is with the world news. Welcome, welcome. So, the top headline, and one that's I've seen all over the place, so it's not like a big surprise, but the United States just kind of turned off the lights and left the Air Force Base. We talked about the Air Force Base closing yesterday, I guess, but... The update to that story is the country of Afghanistan, anger over U.S.'s sudden and silent Bagram departure. Military officials say troops turned off power and slipped away without notifying the new commander. U.S. forces plunged their main operating base into darkness and abandoned it to looters when they slipped away in the middle of the night. The furtive departure from Bagram Air Base, which is vital to the security of Kabul and holds almost 5,000 Taliban prisoners, infuriated the Afghans. Many saw it as emblematic of a withdrawal they say is being carried out entirely to fit an American political schedule. Yeah, no duh. With no heed for the collapsing security situation on the ground. People are saying the Americans didn't ask Afghans about coming here and they didn't consult Afghans about leaving. Much of northern Afghanistan, once an anti-Taliban stronghold, has fallen to the group in the last 2 weeks, and the militants have made substantial advances across the rest of the country. Afghanistan has just over 400 districts, and the Taliban now hold nearly half, and are fighting for many more. The new commander of Bagram Air Base, General Mir Asadullah Kohistani, only discovered the Americans had gone several hours after the 3 a.m. departure. We didn't know of their timeline for departure. They didn't tell us when they left, the commander said, during a tour of evacuated and now looted base. We heard some rumor that the Americans had left, and finally by 7 a.m. we understood that it was confirmed. They had turned off the electricity on the way out, and the sudden darkness served as a signal to the looters, said Abdul Rauf, a soldier of 10 years, who has also served in Taliban strongholds. So, pretty wild. I just will say it's fairly wild that the United States, I don't know, I think it's kind of in our MO to kind of show up and leave on our own schedule when we go around the world doing this kind of stuff, but it's still so abrupt that it's almost comical how badly we treated them. Here's a quick update. Oh, I should have an update sound. Updates, because we have a few updates. Algeria, we said yesterday that 150 people were sick. Well, now that number's been updated to 200 people. And yeah, so anyway, it's been updated. There's more people that are sick, so there's at least 200 people that got sick from the polluted water. And in Hong Kong, arrests of teenagers over an alleged terror plot. Hong Kong police have arrested 9 people, including 6 high school children, over an alleged terrorist plot. Members of the group are aged between 15 and 39 years old. Police say they had rented a room in a hotel to build bombs and plan to attack the city's courts, transport networks, and streets. The arrests come as Hong Kong's leader Carrie Lam warned against illegal ideas spreading through the city. The group is being held under the national security law, which has been used to crush dissent after years of pro-democracy protests led by mostly young activists. So, so this will be very interesting to see how this plays out. Police said they seized a highly explosive chemical triacetone triperoxide, or TATP, in a hotel room that was used as a laboratory for bomb-making equipment. Some Hong Kong $600,000, or $77,000 US, linked to the group was also traced and frozen. Senior Superintendent Lee Kwai Wa told reporters the group had planned to attack some of the public facilities in Hong Kong, including the Cross Harbor Tunnel, railways, courtrooms, and they even wanted to lay bombs in the rubbish bin on the street with a view to maximize damage caused to the society. So, wow, this is pretty wild. The incident took place on the anniversary of the former colony's handover from British to Chinese rule and the 100-year anniversary of the founding of China's Communist Party. In the past, large protests against Beijing's growing influence would be organized on the day of the anniversary. So, it's very interesting times we live in. It's wild. I'm having trouble picturing the plot where you would have teenagers and like 38, 39-year-old people working together. So it'll be very interesting. I hope more details come out, because that'd be an interesting story. Hello, Tobe. I hope the tea is delicious and the water boils quickly. Egypt is angry as it says Ethiopia has resumed filling GERD. Egypt says a unilateral move violates international laws and norms as tensions continue to rise over a huge dam built on the Nile's main tributary. Egypt has said it received an official notice from Ethiopia that it had started the next phase of filling a controversial huge dam on the Nile River's main tributary, raising tensions days before an upcoming meeting of the United Nations Security Council on the issue. Oh, I'm missing something in comm, but we'll have to figure it out later. Welcome, X1. Welcome. Egypt has said it received an official notice from Ethiopia that started the next phase of filling a controversial dam on the Nile, raising tensions before a security council. Oh, we just said that. In a statement late on Monday, the Egyptian Irrigation Ministry expressed its firm rejection of this unilateral measure and said the move was a violation of international laws and norms that regulate projects built on the shared basin of international rivers. The Grand Ethiopian Renaissance Dam, or GERD, which is set to be Africa's largest hydroelectric project when completed, is the source of an almost decade-long diplomatic standoff between Ethiopia and downstream nations Egypt and Sudan. Addis Ababa says the project is essential to development, but the governments in Cairo and Khartoum fear it could restrict their citizens' water access. There is no immediate comment by Ethiopian government officials confirming that second phase filling had begun, but a senior water ministry told AFP news agency it would be in line with the calendar Ethiopia has said it would follow. Ethiopia argues that adding water to the reservoir, especially during the heavy rainfalls of July and August, is a natural part of construction. Filling goes in tandem with the construction, said a senior official at the water ministry. If the rainfall is as you see it now in July, it must have just begun. The volume of the accumulating water would depend on the amount of seasonal rain that fell into Ethiopia. We won't see any effect now in the Nile. We have a month or a month and a half ahead of us, he said. And then they have an interesting graphic showing the water that flows into the river and where all the tributaries come from. Both Egypt and Sudan have been pushing Ethiopia to sign a binding deal over the filling and operation of the dam and have been urging the UN Security Council to take the matter up in recent weeks. So, hello, welcome, John M. Welcome to Calm. Glad to hear it. I guess we're talking about Afghanistan in Calm, so check that out if you want. Two little tidbits. The Amazon flows at a rate 65 times greater than the Nile, and the Mississippi River flows at a rate 6 times greater than the Nile. So, just to give you an idea on how fast the water flows, how much water we're talking about. Both Egypt and Sudan, oh, we already talked about this. Anyway, there's trouble around the dam. Hey, welcome, T-Wayne. Babarioyk case. Belarus jails top Lukashenko critic for 14 years. A former challenger for the Belarusian presidency, Viktor Babarioyko, has been sentenced to 14 years in jail. The former banker was found guilty of taking bribes and money laundering charges he says were fabricated to prevent him challenging Alexander Lukashenko in last year's election. He is among the top opponents of Mr. Lukashenko, who have been either jailed or forced into exile. The UK and US governments condemned the prison term. To us, they are real people with real families suffering real harm at the hands of a ruthless regime. What happened, SMJ? Oh, the river. Damn it. Oh man, I hope you guys don't hear the leaf blowers and weed eaters, but they are approaching my very thin window. Oh, man. And I've been going on and on and...
Get the news over with. Just, I want to hear the music. Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
All right. Well, Finland's Arctic Lapland area swelters in a heat wave, record heat wave. Finland's northernmost Arctic Lapland region has recorded its hottest temperature for more than a century at 33.6 degrees Celsius during a heat wave that's been afflicting the entire Nordic country for weeks. The temperature was measured at Finland's northernmost Utsjoki Kevo weather station near the border with Norway by the Finnish Meteorological Institute. The institute said there was only one higher historical measurement reported in Lapland, 34.7°C, in the Inari Tule area in July 1914. The beginning of July has been exceptionally warm in Lapland, one of Europe's last remaining wildernesses, known for its extremely cold winters that attracts domestic and international nature lovers in both summer and winter. The region, Finland's largest by surface, usually hosts records for the coldest temperatures in the nation. It's expected in Lapland to record temperatures over 32°C, Jari Tuovinen, a meteorologist at Finnish Meteorological Institute, told the Finnish broadcaster. He said the current heat wave in Lapland is a result of prevailing high pressure causing warm air in the region. Finland borders Norway. Hey. Hello. Very exciting. So there are heat waves in more than just the U.S. and Canada. I'm guessing winter coats are going to be on sale next year, since the demand will be much less. Man, there is so much going on, and I'm not sure we have enough time. It's always the way it goes, though. All right. We're going to
get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
We're going to play a song real quick, and then we'll come back, talk about some tech news, and then we'll wrap up with the remaining world news that I just couldn't get to. I think that's a real cool little tidbit. Finland borders Norway. Don't forget. All right. So let's go ahead here, jump over here to our songs, and let's pick a song. Let's see. What have we been talking about? The world. What about... no. Sorry, I was gonna get... trying to get the song that I want that I also have a copy of that's not, crazy. I'm not gonna play that song. John Lennon has a song called Woman is the Blank of the World, which is, wholly offensive, I'm sure. Alright, let's do this. Here we go. Guess what the song title is. It's disco!
Disco,
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 This song, or this music, was recorded off of a record, which is why it kind of sounds funny. Because none of my records are clean. Better believe it.
Listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF Public Access Unix System.
That's right. That was the Bee Gees, More Than a Woman, off of their greatest hits record. I have a few different Bee Gees records, but that was straight off of the record into a recording for you, the AM radio edit. And as SMJ reminded me, in Com, you can, the show's almost a year old, and I've been at home, working from home for almost a year and a half now, so we keep getting to do live shows, at least until September, so I think that's pretty cool. Welcome, Publius, welcome, welcome. Alright, let's run through some tech news real quick, and then we'll fall back into all the other news going on.
It is time for tech news.
It is. All right. First up, let's talk about Audacity. SMJ mentioned this yesterday, and it's been a story going on since June 16th. But I haven't really, I didn't think anybody really was too into it. So I'll give you the rundown as reported on LWN.net. I think I like their news coverage for tech stuff. Anyway, Audacity, The short answer is that Audacity has assigned all its copyrights over to a for-profit entity. It's still it's still an open-source project, but the copyright is held by a different entity now. And the general concern, the general worry is because they've added, as soon as it was transferred over, there was a pull request to add telemetry to the project. And telemetry is programmer speak for like tracking information, like where is it running, who's running it, when are they running it, what are they editing with it, all that kind of stuff, and phoning it back home. So here's the story that kind of goes along with that. The Audacity multi-track audio editor and recorder got its start in the previous century. It's a popular application, it's available for multiple platforms, and it's licensed under GPL V2 or later. But Audacity has been acquired by a newly formed organization called Muse Group. That event has caused something of an uproar in the community. The problem, at least in part, is the new Contributor License Agreement, or CLA, required to contribute to Audacity. The acquisition of the project was announced in an early May YouTube video posted by Martin Curie, aka Tantacruel. The news was subsequently confirmed on the Audacity website. In the video, Curie talks about what is planned for Audacity. The quote here is, "Audacity has just joined Muse Group, a collection of brands that includes another popular open source music app called MuseScore, which I'm currently in charge of. And since things are going rather well at MuseScore, I was asked to set up and also manage Audacity in partnership with its open source community. And just like we're doing at MuseScore, we're now planning on significantly improving the feature set and ease of use of Audacity, providing dedicated designers and developers to give it the attention it deserves, while keeping it free and open source." In general, the reaction to the announcement at Hacker News and was fairly positive. There's a belief that Audacity could use some work on its user interface and that Curie had done good work on MuseScore interface and elsewhere. But it didn't take at all that long for a clash between the community and project to arise. A pull request by Dmitry Vadinko to add a telemetry feature was met with a large amount of dissent. Just to break in here, there is a project that's kind of a fork of Audacity called Dark Audacity that's not too bad. It's just a different, it's built on the open source stuff of Audacity, just has a different UI. And there are other options available. We'll just go through it real quick. The feature, which was meant to be opt-in at install time, would report anonymous information to Google and Yandex. Telemetry could also be configured out at build time, though it would be present in the builds made by the project. Hundreds of comments on the pull request were made, nearly all unhappy with it due to privacy concerns, which led to the feature as originally proposed being dropped. In the message, Curie said that there is a need for opt-in, crash, and error reporting on Audacity, but that any data sent will be hosted by the project, or Muse Group, not Google and Yandex. Meanwhile, there is still interest in more intrusive application data if acceptable mechanism is found for it. Telemetry is a practical tool that tells us a lot about how an app is performing and underperforming. Is a new feature being used a lot? Is this button being discovered? We assume that making it opt-in would allay privacy concerns, but since that isn't the case, we're dropping it. In the future, we'll be able to determine if there are any acceptable alternative solutions that could achieve the same goal. Feedback would be appreciated on this point. In the meantime, I'll continue user testing, interviewing, reading feedback, and conducting surveys to learn more about what our users want. So, it's a bit too long to go through the whole thing. But basically, that's kind of what the initial problem was. There's another uproar now because the privacy policy for Audacity has changed. That's not yet. I don't have a report yet on that to read. They added a bunch of stuff about they updated the privacy policy to support this telemetry where they're saying, we may collect data about you and we may provide this information to third parties and blah, 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 and will comply with legal requests for this data. So a lot of people are up in arms around the project. The business model that I was able to find when I looked around for Muse Group is basically that they have these free open source products, and if you make contributions, you have to assign the copyright to them. Then they take the copyright, the material they hold the copyright for, and they make a commercial product that reuses that code, and they sell it as a commercial product. But the free open source version is still there, and basically they can outsource development work by getting the community to do it. And since you assign the copyright to them, they can then release it as their own and collect all that stuff. So anyway, that's what's going on with Audacity. Sorry that took a while, but I wanted to be sure and get it out because it's a complex story and it is big news. Let's run through just our remaining a couple more stories. We don't have enough time to really get through it all, but let's try our best. We're going to go ahead and start at the end and go backwards. In Ghana, opposition youth have started a rally against the federal police force. Thousands gathered in the streets of Accra on Tuesday, and they marched for justice in a peaceful protest of Ghanaian President Nana Akufo-Addo's government and violence from the police. Gaza is still under attack, but you wouldn't know it from the media. A young medical student is speaking out about life in the besieged strip, the persistence of Israeli attacks, and the need for real solidarity. Gaza, Israel's still following its same MO. It's just not in the news anymore. Hundreds are protesting outside the home of a man caught on video hurling racial slurs against a black neighbor. This was pretty great to see. Hundreds of people in New Jersey's Mount Laurel Township gathered to protest in front of the house of a man purportedly captured on video hurling racial slurs at his neighbor. He then proceeded in that video to say, yeah, put this video online and, yeah, if you think anybody's got the balls to show up or something, and he gave his address out, and then thousands of people showed up to kick his ass. It was very funny. Volvo truck workers demand full contract an additional week before a vote on UAW sellout deal. Volvo truck workers have been on strike for like 5 weeks, and it's wild. Check out the World Socialist website for more details there. At least 28 people are dead now, or they found at least 28 people in the Florida condo collapse building. They went ahead and tore down the remaining part yesterday, and so they found 28 bodies. They're still expecting, they're looking for about 100 people, so it'll be pretty rough. A craft brewery is using algae to cut emissions. Their fermenting beer produces CO2, which usually gets released into the atmosphere. But a brewery in Sydney, Australia, has partnered with climate change scientists and to develop a way to use microalgae to capture the CO2 and turn it into oxygen. Trudeau in Canada names Indigenous leader in a historic first. Canadian Prime Minister has named Mary Simon as Governor General, the first Indigenous person to hold the post. So that's pretty cool. Sorry, I'm trying to rush through these because I'm so bad at time management. 28 people are feared dead in a plane crash in Russia's Far East. A plane carrying 28 people crashed Tuesday, apparently as it came in for a landing in bad weather in Russia's Far East, and everyone aboard is feared dead. The Spirit of Our Ancestry, How California's Black Wall Streets Are Changing Their Cities, is a feature piece in The Guardian. Check that out if you're into that. And the Pentagon has canceled a $10 billion Jedi contract, scrapping a multi-billion-dollar cloud computing contract which sparked a row between Microsoft and Amazon. Please stick around for the Dubious Skullskinny with Tope. We don't have all the time in the world, but we do have at least 20 golf balls, so stick around for that. And bye! Come on, play the outro. Aw, shucks.
Well, that sound means that our time's come to an end.